Pastor Aaron, we're so glad to have you back. I'm so glad to have you back. And we're so glad to hear your message this evening.
I'm fresh off of an 18-hour car ride, so I am ready to go. You might need to help me stay awake this morning. So looking forward to speaking to you tonight. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. The true Word of God, the Scriptures that you hold in your hands this evening, has always been in competition with counterfeits and frauds. In fact, we're surrounded by voices, even today, all claiming to have the Word of God. Satan's at hard at work using false teachers and preachers to distort and obscure the Word of God, and he'll even use Scripture to do it. So what is a Christian to do? How are we going to be discerning and know the voice of God from the voice of error? How do we know if the voices that we are allowing to influence our thinking or even allow into our homes, how do we know that they are faithfully representing the Word of God? This competition has been one that has been raging through the ages. In fact, in the time of the prophets, God's commissioned servants had to compete with false prophets using their influence to distract from the true message and lead people astray. This is a challenge that the prophet Jeremiah faced during his ministry. Today, I want to look at the battle of the prophets from the book of Jeremiah because I believe our passage will give us valuable insight into the strategies and lies of the false teaching that surround us even today. Before we jump in, let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for giving us your word. God, I pray you give us discernment and knowledge to know how to tell between truth and error so that we can be firmly planted on your truth. Give us grace as we open your word this evening. In your son's name I pray. Amen. A little bit of background about the book of Jeremiah and the prophet before we get into the message tonight. Jeremiah has actually the longest ministry of all of the prophets. If you know your Old Testament timeline and history, God would send prophet after prophet after prophet, both to Israel and to Judah, Israel being the northern tribe, Judah being the southern nation. But Jeremiah had the longest ministry of all. His ministry actually spanned the reigns of multiple kings, Josiah, Jehoiaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. We also, if you read the book of Jeremiah, we find out that his message was incredibly unpopular. The nation, Babylon, was coming against Judah. And the kings were trying to lead the people against them, to stand strong. And while these kings are trying to lead the people in this anti-Babylon revolt, fighting for independence, Jeremiah is telling the people to go with the Babylonians and submit to them and live in their land. You can see why this is a very unpopular message. His audience is unreceptive. They deny their guilt when Jeremiah confronts them. They constantly claim that they were guiltless and innocent. On one occasion, you may know the story in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah has his scribe Baruch write out all the words of the Lord on a scroll. And they bring it before the king, and as they're reading the scroll, the king takes a knife and cuts off piece by piece as it's being read and throws it into the fire. They saw Jeremiah's solution to their problem as futile and ridiculous. Jeremiah's life is constantly threatened. He's beaten and put in stocks. He's arrested multiple times. We read of one story where he's thrown into a muddy pit and left to die. It's a difficult ministry, one that is not for the faint of heart. But perhaps one of the most difficult aspects of his ministry is that his own peers, the other prophets in Judah, were constantly contradicting him. While he was standing up and saying, "Thus says the Lord," there were all these other prophets that were standing up next to him and saying, "Thus says the Lord," but their message was completely opposite of what Jeremiah was preaching. And we face the same challenge today. You'll have preacher and teacher and televangelists get up and say, "This is what God says." And not everything they say is what God says. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 23, starting in verse 16. And I want to actually read through the end of the chapter before we dig in tonight. Jeremiah chapter 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not of the mouth of the Lord. They still say unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, you shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his words? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he has executed, until he has performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, and saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies, and by their lightness, yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet, and the priest, and the people, that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall you say, every one to his neighbor, and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered? And what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord you shall mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee? And what hath the Lord spoken? But since you say, the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say these words, the burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you in the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out before my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten. Happy stuff, right? You can see that God is not treating this lightly. There were people surrounding Jeremiah that were standing up and saying, this is what God's message is for you. And they were completely distorting and misrepresenting the message of God. So as we seek to learn how can we discern truth and error in our day today, I want us to look at three things that we find in this passage. First of all, when we hear a message, a preacher, a teacher, get up and say, this is what the Lord says. First of all, it's important for us to discern the source of the teaching. In our passage tonight, God exposes these prophets by revealing where they get their message from. They may claim to have the message of the Lord, but God says that their messages actually come from their own minds and not from God's word. In verse 16, it says they speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. The NASB renders this phrase visions of their own imagination. They're just conjuring things up, things that they think sound really good. Yeah, this sounds nice. That'll preach, right? And they'll say it and attach, this is what God says to it, to add some weight and authority. Verse 25 says they've prophesied lies, saying, I have dreamed. They'll come to the people and say, you won't believe what incredible dream I had last night. And it revealed to us what God's word truly is, when in reality, it's nothing but lies. Verse 26 says, they're prophets of the deceit of their own mind. I love how the NIV renders this phrase, the delusions of their own mind. And then finally, they steal my words, every one from his neighbor. This is interesting. Saying what these false prophets are doing, not only are they just conjuring up ideas out of their own mind and declaring it as the word of the Lord, you know what else they're doing? They're looking at all the other prophets and saying, ooh, that was good. Oh, I like how they that really gathered a crowd. That really got some attention. I'll take that. Have you ever noticed in popular Christianity today, you'll see common messages across all the famous preachers and teachers, right? Those that are gathering a crowd and are simply trying to use the word of God for their own gain, they all start saying the same thing because they know what gathers the crowd. They steal my words, every one from his neighbor. We need to recognize that this is still happening today. Just because someone says, God told me, doesn't mean that it's true. So, how do we tell the source? How do we know if someone is someone who is bringing to us the word of God or bringing to us his own imagination? Well, God provides a sharp contrast between the false prophet and the true prophet, and the contrast is seen in the study room. The contrast is revealed in what happens before the preacher gets up to preach. Look in verse 18. After he condemns the prophets for what they're preaching, verse 18 says, "For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his words? Who has marked his word and heard it?" Down in verse 22, "But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doing." The man of God, the preacher, who is faithful to the word of God, is the one who is going to be spending more time knowing God's word and spending time in God's word, even than he is preaching God's word. Hastiness and recklessness characterize the false preachers. In fact, there's no reason to spend time in the presence of God if all you're doing is speaking what you already think. Very little preparation and meditation is required to tickle the ears and feed the curiosity. Why? Because I have a deceitful heart. I know what gets my attention. I know what piques my curiosity. And so, sure, I can get up here and just say things that really get people excited without spending much time in the Word of God. These prophets ran before God sent them, it says. They prophesied before God spoke to them. Verse 32 talks about their lies and their recklessness. False teachers can pump out book after book, seminar after seminar, workshop after workshop. But are they spending time in the presence of God, hearing His word? It's so easy to depend on personality, charisma, or a silver tongue to gain the crowd. The one who speaks the word of God must first and foremost be a student of the word of God. It's not the job of a preacher to state his own viewpoint or opinion. His job is simply to repeat what God has already said. I love how John MacArthur phrases this. He says, the preacher is not a chef. He's a waiter. God doesn't want you to make the meal. He just wants you to deliver it to the table without messing it up. I like that. And so many times the speakers and the voices surrounding us are too creative, are too original. Try to spin the Word of God in a new and exciting way to gain our attention instead of simply delivering the Word of God to the hearer. It's not up for the preacher to be original with the Word of God. What does it say in verse 28 of our passage? The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Do we have his word? We do. In these days, in the Old Testament days, God did use prophets and God did even use dreams to reveal his word. Hebrews 1:1 says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to us, to our fathers, by the prophets. That included dreams. But it says, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. For us today in the New Testament, Jesus Christ has had the final word. And 2 Timothy 3 says that Scripture is profitable and can equip us to be complete and equipped for every single good work. In the Old Testament, when there were prophets that were telling dreams, and God revealed himself in dreams, even in that setting, he said, even dreams do not usurp my revealed word. Because if you have a dream, tell the dream. But if you already have my word, speak my word faithfully. How much more so should we, in our day, when God has given us his completed word, elevate that revealed word over any subjective experience or dream or impression? Speak his word faithfully. So examine the voices in your life. Consider the people that you listen to and discern the source of their message. Are they first and foremost devoted students to the Word of God? When you hear them speak, is it evident that they have been in the Word faithfully and they're simply repeating the Word faithfully? When you listen to them, do you hear inspirational thoughts and ideas that are nothing more than mere speculation and opinion? Discern the source. Secondly, in this passage, we see that it's important for us to discern the content. What are they saying? In fact, the best way to discern the source is to discern the content. What is the message? In our passage tonight, the message that they were preaching is found in verse 17. It says, they say, still unto them that despise God. What do they say to those people that despise God? The Lord has said, you'll have peace. And they say, everyone that walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. These were feel-good prophets. They were preaching a message that they knew that their rebellious audience would really love to hear. God's people were despising the word of the Lord. They were stubbornly following their own hearts. And the prophets were saying, it's all good. No disaster shall come upon you. Flip back to Jeremiah chapter 14. Here is Jeremiah complaining to the Lord about this problem. He says in verse 13 of Jeremiah 14, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, people of Judah, you shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. The content of the false prophet is simple. Tell people what they want to hear. There's a chilling verse in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31, where God says, the prophets prophesy falsely and the priests rule by their own authority. And my people love it like this. But what will you do at the end of it? John Calvin once said, false teaching is easily identified by the fact that it is willingly received by all and it is to everyone's liking. While the message that these people needed most was one of confrontation and correction, these prophets gave them a feel-good message that gained them popularity. I want to look at two built-in illustrations in the book of Jeremiah that show this quite vividly. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 28. Here we see a battle of the prophets between Jeremiah and a false prophet named Hananiah. Before this, it's important to note that God liked using images, pictures, to convey his message. And one particular striking image is he had Jeremiah actually put a wooden stock on his neck to illustrate that they would be led away into captivity. So Jeremiah the prophet is literally going around in this wooden stock. Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 1 says, "It came to pass in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me," that's Jeremiah, "in the house of the Lord, and in the presence of the priests and of the people, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years I will bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." And then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests, in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house, and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet has come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord has truly sent him." Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet of Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within a space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Boy, I bet that got some amens in that temple when Hananiah said, "I'll break the yoke of God will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar," right? And they're saying, "Oh, that is good. That is powerful." They're probably talking about that powerful moment when he broke that yoke all the way to the Cracker Barrel after church, right? And they're just saying, "That was the most powerful message. That was so good. Did you see how Hananiah did that? Did you see the look on Jeremiah's face? Wow, that was so good. I'm encouraged. I feel good today. That's what I needed to hear." There's only one problem. Verse 12. "Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet. After that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee off from the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. And Hananiah the prophet did die that same year in the seventh month." Oh, what a powerful message. What a powerful image. What an impression you must have left with those people. That's what they needed to hear, right? He made the people trust in a lie. How many times do we hear a message, hear a word, and we're just impressed by it? And we're like, "Ooh, that was good. That was powerful. That is the word that I needed today." And we never stop to ask the question, was that biblical? Was that true? One more illustration. You can turn over to Jeremiah chapter 42. We won't read the whole passage here. This passage takes place after Nebuchadnezzar has already brought the people to Babylon, leaving a remnant in Israel. And there's a people there in Judah who remained in the land. And they were wondering, what should we do? Should we stay in the land? Or should we flee to Egypt for protection? And they come to Jeremiah. Verse 1 says, the captain of the forces of Johanan, they all come to Jeremiah and they say, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few. He says in verse 3, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. And Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. It shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it to you. I will keep nothing back from you. And then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all the things for which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God. Sounds like, wow, a turning point. The people are finally ready to submit to the word of God, whatever it is. And so Jeremiah goes and hears the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord is, stay put, and Nebuchadnezzar will have mercy on you. If you flee to Egypt, you'll be destroyed. How do you think the people responded to that? They didn't like it. Verse 1 of chapter 43. It came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah, son of Hashiah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord your God has not sent you to say, go into Egypt to sojourn there. Wow. They came to him and said, whatever the word of the Lord is, we will obey it. We will listen to it. The word of the Lord came to them and they said, you're not telling us the real word of God. You're talking to us falsely. Man, it's so easy to discredit the preacher when the words spoken are against what we want to hear. The thing is, these people should have known better. They already had the law. They already had the words of the covenant that said, if you act this way in my land, these are the specific curses, these are the specific things that will come upon you. This wasn't just Jeremiah's word against theirs. It was the word of God against their own desire. As we discern the content of what we hear, we must be trained, we must be skilled to measure everything against what God has already declared. Cody Bauckham says, if we don't know the Bible, if we don't know doctrine, if we don't know theology, it's virtually impossible for us to identify false prophets. If we are not rooted in the Word of God and what it says, what will we fall for? Whatever our ears want to hear. Whatever sounds really good. This is an incredible danger for us today. What does it say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 through 4? For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Don't think that we are immune to the same strategy. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. We listen to those who preach as truth what we want to be true. We listen to those who declare that God has said what we want Him to say. We love it when a preacher takes our specific side on an issue. We often don't realize how frequently we decide what is true based off what we want to be true, rather than what has revealed to be true. And this is exactly why preachers do it, because they know it works. You know, we don't need preachers of the gospel to be therapists, motivational speakers, or life coaches. We need them to faithfully and accurately expound the Word of God clearly. Have you ever found yourself saying, when you read God's Word and you hear it preached, have you ever found yourself saying, I may not like it, but that's what God said? Or do you say, I didn't like that, so I'm not quite sure that's what God said? Discern the content. And then finally, discern the effects. What does false teaching do? First of all, it brings surface level comfort. We see this in back in chapter 23, in verse 16, it says, they make you vain. It means they're giving you false hopes. Please don't mistake a hopeful feeling for biblical hope. God wants you to have true hope that is rooted in His truth. Jeremiah 6:14, talking again about the false prophet's message, they say, they have treated my people's brokenness superficially, claiming peace, peace, when there is no peace. You know, you can hear a feel-good message that just makes you warm and fuzzy inside. And you might feel like you got a nice little Band-Aid over the brokenness in your life without ever having the true brokenness of your heart healed and redeemed and transformed by the power of God's Word. Don't settle for surface-level comfort that comes from false teaching. And finally, or secondly, it makes you forget Scripture. This is interesting. Look in verse 25. I have heard that the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, just as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Have you ever found yourself so obsessed with your favorite author or inspirational speaker that your Bible has been completely forgotten? We're so quick to exchange the Word of God for the sensational and the experiential. And these prophets were elevating their dreams over God's Word. And the people were falling for it. And notice what he compared this to. He said they make them forget the Word of God by their dreams, just as their fathers made them forget God by Baal. Baal's idol worship, right? What happens when we form our view of God based off of whatever we like to be true and wish to be true about God? We take what we like from certain people and what we like over here, and we kind of compile it into our own customized God. What are we doing? It's idolatry. It makes us forget God's true Word. Thirdly, it brings harm to the hearer. This gets at the root of why God is so angry in this passage. Verse 32 says, at the very end, it shall not profit this people at all. He was so angry in this passage because he loves his people dearly. He was so against these false prophets because they were harming his people. And then thirdly, it robs you of true transformation. Look how the Word of God is described in our passage tonight. Down in verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, says the Lord, like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? When people exchange the Word of God for deceit and lies that cater to their own desires, they're missing out on the true power of God's Word. While the effect of false teaching is superficial feelings of hope, heeding the Word of God will purify, convict, and transform your soul. It will correct your wrong thinking. It will redirect your steps. It will point you to God. It will give you hope in a future. There's no substitute for the Word of God. Don't fall for just what you want to hear. Listen to what you need to hear from God's Word. Discern the source. Discern the content. Discern the effects. And then finally, one note, if I may, before we close tonight. If you remember when we opened this passage at the very beginning, there, at the end of the passage, it had this that section where it talked about don't say the burden of the Lord, and kept on saying the burden of the Lord. Yeah, I don't know if you remember that when you read through it. Maybe it was a little confusing to you. What's going on there? What's happening, it seems, is that this tendency to attach God's authoritative word to deceit and lies was something that was not just limited to the priests and the prophets. But it says that every man was doing it to his neighbor. And so God comes to them and says, stop saying the burden of the Lord. The word burden means oracle. And so what is that passage is saying, that people were going around saying, this is what God said. This is what God said. This is what God said. Verse 36 says, the burden of the Lord you shall mention no more. Why? For the burden is every man's own word. Every man's own word becomes his message. And they attach, this is what God said to it. And what's the result? In verse 36, you pervert the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. You may say, no, I don't listen to false teachers. You know, those that just cater to our desires and say, you know, this is what God says, and they make us feel good with their feel-good messages. I don't listen to those people. We do it to ourselves sometimes, don't we? We're our own false prophets. Where we try to soothe ourselves and give us that just nice little pick-me-up for the day based off of whatever we want to be true, and then we verify it by saying, God told me this. I feel like this is something we do a little too much. God told me this. God called me to do this. When we don't totally know if God called you to do that or God told you to do that. Most of the time I think we do this without thinking. But perhaps it's not much better of a reason. We should be careful with the phrase, God told me. Do we realize what we're claiming when we do this? Again, we just do it without thinking. God showed me that I need to go and do this with my life. Or God has revealed to me that this is what needs to happen next. Should we be adding such an authoritative, inerrant claim to what often is nothing more than the desires, impressions, or experiences of our own hearts? Sometimes those desires may be good ones. Right? They could be biblical, right? Sometimes they may not. I'm just saying we need to be careful. If you say, God called me to do this, or God told me to do this, and then the thing doesn't happen, was God wrong? Was God mistaken? Or were we attaching God's authority to what we already kind of wanted to do? If you say, God told me, I hope that the next thing that you do is open your Bible to show me where. We can be our own false prophets sometimes. Where we turn God into what we want Him to be, to accomplish the plans and desires that we already plan to accomplish. May we be careful. In an encouraging note, I know this is kind of a negative passage, but what a blessing it is that we don't really have to wonder what God has said. You know, I could have shortened this message a whole bunch and just said, read your Bible. Right? It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every single good work. We fall for false teaching because we don't know this book. But when we know this book, we'll have eyes to see false teaching, and we'll be so satisfied with it that we won't be content with lesser things, with empty things that tickle the ears, that make us feel good in the moment, because we know something that's much better, much stronger, much more lasting. It's the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for giving us Your Word, for giving us eyes to see what You have revealed to us. Lord, our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. So often, even though we have Your revealed word, we very often lose sight of it and fall for lesser things. Pray that You would give us clarity in our sight, that we would know truth from error and stay in Your word, know Your word, so that we may grow and be transformed by it. In Your Son's name I pray.